Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Current Issues. I'm your host, Hisham Tilawi. We started talking about the documents that was released recently by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and we will jump into it so we won't waste much time. And, of course, after we talk about this, we welcome your phone calls. The number to call is 1-800-313-9443. Okay, now we are in this closed-in Senate hearing, and the senators are grilling Secretary Dean Rusk. Dean Rusk. Well, I do not want to underestimate influence in this institution, but I just want to point out that it is not necessarily decisive when you are talking with countries about what they consider the life and death issues for them. Senator Hickenlooper of Iowa. Do we not give tax forgiveness for monies contributed to Israel, which is rather unusual? We could stop that. Dean Rusk. I believe contributions to the United Jewish Appeal are tax exempt, yes. Chairman Fulbright steps in. That is right, the only country. Do you think you have the votes in the Senate to revoke that? Senator Clifford Case of New Jersey says, are you in favor yourself? Hickenlooper, I think we ought to treat all nations alike. Case, that is correct. But are you in favor of it? Hickenlooper, as long as we do not give it to other nations, I do not, and he did not continue. Chairman Fulbright jumps in and says, the trouble is they think they have control of the Senate, and they can do as they please. Senator Symington of Missouri, what was that? Fulbright, I said they know they have control of the Senate politically, and therefore whatever the secretary tells them, they can laugh at him. They say, yes, but you don't control the Senate. Senator Symington, they were very anxious to get every senator they could to come out and say we ought to act unilaterally, and they got two or three. The chairman, they know when the chips are down, you can no more reverse this tax exemption than you can fly. You could not pass a bill through the Senate. Hickenlooper, I do not think you could. The chairman, changing the tax exemption contribution to the United Jewish Appeal, I would bet you 10-1 you could not begin to pass a bill you do not believe they could under any circumstances. Senator Symington, a bill to do what? The chairman, to revoke the tax exemptions of gifts to the United Jewish Appeal. That is one of their major sources of income. You yourself have pointed out the money they paid for the French arms they got, that the French arms they got from the United States. Senator Symington, each year the money we give annually for this is less than 1% of the cost of Vietnam. The chairman, I agree with that. Hickenlooper, there you go. The chairman, but you know very well, you said yourself, that the arms they buy from France are already paid for by contributions that come from this country. Symington, because we would not sell it to them. So instead of selling them the arms, he did not finish. Senator Albert Gore of Tennessee, that's the father of Albert Gore, he jumps in and says, has the president recommended that this be repealed? And we will continue in a couple of seconds after the break because it's extremely important. We almost finished with this one. So we'll be back.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're talking about the Fulbright closed-end hearing back in 1967, and we got to the point where Senator Albert Gore of Tennessee, that's the father of Albert Gore, the one that most people know of, he jumps in and said, has the president recommended that this be repealed? We are, of course, speaking about the tax exemption for the United Jewish Appeal. The chairman jumps in and says, no, he has not. I do not wish to make the point, except the secretary is quite correct when he says his leverage on Israel is very limited because of the political situation. Senator Hickenlooper, I'm sorry I brought it up. Secretary Dean Rusk, I did not say it. Fulbright, if you did not say it, you do not disagree with it anyway. Dean Rusk, I think it should be pointed out, though, on this tax-exempt matter that there are many other organizations, institutions that would fall into the same principle. Private foundations and their expenditures abroad, churches, the voluntary agencies. There are very large sums of money going to foreign countries that are tax-exempt in this country as the origin. Hickenlooper, I don't think it's analogous. Al Gore, it is tax-deductible. You said it's tax-exempt. Dean Rusk, except the organizations are exempt. Contributions to them are tax-deductible. Senator Cooper, I suggest it's possible after this that Israel may ask that this be removed as a sign of showing they are not absolutely dependent on the United States. Okay. of course, you know, the wishful thinking, apparently Senator Cooper was not aware of Israel's hand and Israel's arm in the United States. Now, what we are talking about here, it's not that this is such a great document that came out, but it's to show you that the influence that the Israel lobby and a lot of people, you know, are afraid to say the Jewish lobby, but it is the Jewish lobby in the influence they exert on our government, that way back in 1967, they were trying to figure out ways of how to handle the problems in the Middle East. And, of course, they were on their tiptoes trying to walk around Israel and about Israeli issues. Now, Dean Rusk, when he said that, oh, you know, other churches have tax exempt and other voluntary agencies, and of course, Senator Hickenlooper said that is not analogous. It's true, it's not analogous. You can't say that money sent by from the United States for Israel to buy weapons to kill people is analogous with money that is collected from United States citizens and, to send to their churches and their churches to send these mercenaries, not mercenaries, but to send the you know, open up schools in Africa, missionaries, I'm sorry. And so you can't compare what the Peace Corps, for instance, doing in the world, or the Red Cross, or any of these volunteers groups, compare them to money going to Israel to destroy and kill people. And this is the core of the problem that we are having now, because what is happening out there, it is not news and it's not new information that the Jewish lobby have control of our elected officials. We see it every time. We see it every year during the election and throughout the year with whatever policies that are connected with Israel. You know, whatever happened with George Bush's vision of two-state solutions. Of course, remember, you know, he said, my vision is two-state solutions when it came to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. And whatever happened to that vision, of course, George Bush himself was forced to eat his words. He was forced to basically forego the vision that he has, which is, you know, so far I haven't really seen any vision that George Bush was able to accomplish. So all of the visions the this poor guy have came up with, none of them were basically accomplished because he's not a guy to accomplish visions. You know, when you have a vision, you are to go after it. Number one, you have to go after it with such veracity that to accomplish this vision. And someone like the United States president, when he says that he has a vision and that's what he's going to work on, and then later on back off or back out of these visions and these promises, you know something else is in play here, and it's not the United States government. It is the Israeli government through its AIPAC cronies that are exerting pressure on Washington. Now, there is a meeting that's going to take place at the end of May in Istanbul, Turkey. It's the Bilderberg Group. They meet annually. Now, this group is basically influenced by bankers, corporate, government personalities, and those who want to be a government personality. Every president that we had went through these people. Clinton had to meet with these people before he was elected. Al Gore had to meet with these people. John Kerry had to meet with these people. Everybody who wants to be something will have to go and meet with these people. Now, you've heard some people talking about globalization and secret governments and all this stuff. Well, the government that you see in front of you is not the government that is controlling the events. Maybe, you know, picking up the garbage and taking care of cutting grass somewhere, maybe that's the government that you see in front of you. But the government that makes the decision is not, or decisions, is not the government that you see in front of you. All of these main issues are handled through this particular group, the Bilderberg Group, which I'm sure probably as a listener of RBN, you have heard a lot of talk show hosts talk about this, and I'm sure a lot of them had brought in some experts to speak about the Bilderberg Group. But royalties are part of that, like the Queen of Holland, and kings, mainly, they form this group, and they practically, most of them, 99% of them, are Europeans, Western governments, that think that they have the power, which they do. In a way, they do. They have the power over banks, because normally bankers go there to decide how much money we are going to make with whatever project that we are going to talk about, and what area of the world that needs to be developed and what area needs to stay the way it is. And basically, that's what this group is all about. Paul Wolfowitz, of course, had made that trip a long time, and he made a lot of these trips, Henry Kissinger. So this particular group is the group that you need to keep your eyes on, because after they meet, every year after they meet, very much whatever decisions they make and they take in those meetings is basically what the world has to basically go through. So we are not, when you go to the polls or to the ballots and you cast your ballot and you vote for your president or a senator, trust me, you're not voting. You're just picking one or two people that have already been approved by this group. And if you're not approved by this group, forget it, because in this particular meeting, media giants are also attending this. So these people get together to basically draw the next scenario of what goes on in the world. So they go on to cover, for instance, you know, I doubt if Ron Paul will be in that meeting, and I doubt if Dennis Kucinich will be in that meeting. But of course, I'm sure, you know, Hillary Clinton been to those meetings already, by the way, and Barack Obama will be going to that meeting, and other people who are on the Republican side. You see, to these people, it really does not matter to them the little details of if the American president is Democrat or if it's Republican. The way they choose these people is to play different roles, because they could not have had a Democratic president in the White House to go to war against against Iraq. It will not work, because everything else will not work. So they had a Republican president to do that. But now the job is done. You know, what they wanted to do is get rid of Saddam. Getting rid of Saddam was a dream for Israel for a long time. And they have been waiting to accomplish that. If you read some of these documents that are out there, they were written by people like Paul Wolfowitz and Richard Perl a long time ago, since like 1980s and 90s. You will see that removal of Saddam Hussein was something that they had wrote about. The destruction of Iraq and the breakup of Iraq into different societies or different states was on their agenda. And the final approval comes from these meetings, the Bilderberg meetings. And the attack on Iraq was definitely that decision was taken at a Bilderberg meeting. And we'll continue with this when we come back, and we'll welcome your phone calls, 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking about the world and who's who in this world. By the way, I understand that we have a lot of listeners out there, and I appreciate every one of them. I just would like to say that if you like what you're hearing, please tell all your friends, tell everybody that you know. If you're listening to us on shortwave or if you listen to us on broadband, please tell all your friends about our program, and we appreciate every one of you out there who is listening to us. And again, we welcome your phone calls. The number to call is 800-313-9443. So thank you again. Okay, the Bilderberg. Let me spell that. So if you are by your computer, you can go and research this particular group. It is Bilderberg, Bilderberg. And you will find a lot of websites talking about this particular group. And, of course, you're going to find a lot of things on the Internet. See, the Internet is – it can be a blessing, but it also – it can be a nightmare too. So you need to be very careful in what you read on the Internet. A lot of times people like to go into all these myths. And that's really what discredits people like us trying to get the truth to people. So, you know, if the Bilderbergers, if you see any of these websites that are talking about the Bilderbergers in contact with someone from outer space and having, you know, whatever, unidentified objects, and they have communications with societies. Forget about it. Just move on to the next one that will tell you exactly who these people are. And these people are basically people that you hear about in the news probably most of the time. You know, some of these, the memberships of huge corporations that you hear about, you know, like Xerox, like Shell Oil, all these people that are members of these groups are basically people that you know of and people that you've heard of all the time. You know, they met in Canada back in 2006. In 2005, they met in Munich in Germany. And so they do have every year they make these meetings at different places. Like, for instance, in 2004, they met in Italy, in Stresa, Italy, where actually, you know, John Kerry and his running mate, John Edward, were at that meeting. So they have – it's just like when our senators and congressmen, before – they go and become or even think about running, they will have to go to Jerusalem. They will have to go to Israel, get the blessings of the Likud party, which has control over AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Relations Committee here in the States. And because they know the Likud has influence in the media, they have influence on these people who pay money for all these congressmen. Don't think that a congressman who needs about $15 million or $20 million to run a campaign, don't think he gets it from you when you probably send him, if you send him, you probably send him a $5 or $10 here and there. They cannot run campaigns on that. So they depend on two things. They depend on money, special interest money, and they depend on the media, because believe me, you can have all the money you want, and if the mainstream media is not, you, if you are not running on their agenda, you will be out. You will lose it. You know, think about it. George Bush, the father, he came back from the Gulf War with 98% approval, unlike his son, who is still running a war with 98% disapproval. Probably the number might be about 89 or close to 90, but I use the same number for both just to show you the differences. But there was a big difference between George Bush the father and George Bush the son. George Bush the father stood up to Israel. Israel wanted $10 billion in loan guarantees, and George Bush said, stop building, the father. Stop building those settlements, those illegal Israeli settlements on Palestinian lands, because these settlements are the cause of the one. It's standing in the and it's standing between peace and war. It's standing between the peace that we are trying to accomplish in the Middle East. We've got to do away with these settlements. Well, the Israelis did not stop the settlements. So George Bush said, well, you know what? You're not getting the $10 billion loan guarantees unless you stop these settlements. Yitzhak Shamir was the prime minister at that time. And I still see him right this moment. I see him on TV, of course, in my head. He was on the news saying and threatening George Bush, because one of the reporters told him, he said, hey, what is your reaction to what George Bush Sr. said about the loan guarantees, that he's not going to give Israel loan guarantees? He's not going to sign it. He said, I will have his job. And guess what? A president who just came out of 98% approval with the people was attacked in the media, and his job was taken and given to Clinton. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking about the Bilderberg Group. It's a group of people who meet annually. Normally, it's either in May or June. The first meeting took place back in 1954, and that's where the group got its name from, because they were meeting at the Hotel Bilderberg in Holland, and that's why they became known as the Bilderberg Group, because their first meeting was in Holland. And if you look at, you know, some of the people who go to these meetings, you will see that they are basically the who's who in the money, government, influence, and other people who come there to basically pay tributes to these people or beg them for an understanding from other countries in the world, such as people who would like to be a president of a country in Africa or Asia, or people who are wanting something and wanting to, you know, tell these people about their people's plight, etc., etc. But they're mainly people, if they put these people in power, if they support these people to go back to their countries and run for either president or prime minister or whatever, They basically wanted something from these people. And it's the same way with our own congressmen and women, with the British members of parliament, with almost in Canada, everywhere. This is the government that people are talking about, government behind the government. It's not really like secret governments that they meet every day and say, look, you need to do this, you need to do that. No. They will let you do. They will give you a program. This is what we want out of you. This is what we want you to do. Now, if you don't do it, then they will have somebody else to do it. And that's why they insisted. They insisted, even, you know, with what happened in the year 2000 with the elections. It's not that if Kerry became president, then it would have been, or Al Gore, or would have been different story. No. But they were not the right person for the job. Maybe they are a person that they would have at one time to be a president of the United States, but it was not the right person at that time. We have a job to do, and that job is to break up Iraq. That decision was taken in a Bilderberg meeting, that we have got to take out Saddam Hussein. We have got to take that regime down, and basically the only candidate that they knew will do the job and do the job right and basically throw everything up in the air was Bush. Because if it was a Democrat in that job, probably he would have been a little bit, because remember, they tried to get Clinton to do the job in his second term, and Clinton did not do it. Clinton did not do it. In 1996, they wrote the document, a clean break document, Strategy for Securing the Realm. It was written by Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz, amongst other people on that list of signatories who wrote that. But Clinton did not do it. I guess it was his second term. He did not probably need these people anymore, or for whatever reasons, Clinton said, I can't do it. In the year 2000, they wrote the other document, which is the Project for the New American Century, which they got George Bush to basically implement it. And that's exactly what we are seeing right now in the Middle East, is the implementation of what they have decided that George Bush needed to do, which is destroy Iraq, throw the area in a turmoil, start this Shiites and Sunnis garbage, which was, you know, these people have lived together for 1,400 years. Start this huge animosities between Arabs and Persians, which is the Iranians. Then you will have some of these Arab kings and Arab governments being afraid of the Iranian influence in their countries. And it's not easy, it's not hard to actually start some trouble in some of these Arab countries and blame it on Iran, because there are Shiites living in a lot of these Arab countries, and it's not hard to basically start something going on and say it's the Iranian influence in this in this region, and then create this union between Israel and some of these Arabs by saying, you know what, your enemy is my enemy, because Iran was never a threat to Israel. Iran was never a threat to the United States. But if we make Iran a threat to Israel and we get someone like Ahmadinejad to fall into the trap of mentioning something about Israel and about Jerusalem, they will say, oh, he's an enemy. He wants to annihilate the Jewish people. And right away you will have the most of the people in the Western world, they will go and say, oh, wow, he wants to destroy. Just like the comment that President Gamal Abdel Nasser of Egypt made back in 1967 when he said he was going to push the Jews to the sea. Of course, Egypt, now that's not what he was saying, but it was translated as such, and it became an extremely important and strong weapon in the hands of the Zionists and in the hands of the Jewish lobbies around the world, who were saying, look, the Arabs wants to push us to the sea, never again, we're not going back into gas ovens, and we're not going to the Holocaust again, so that's what the Arabs wants to do to us, even though the Arabs at that time were not in a shape to threaten anybody in that area. It was all an Israeli an Israeli policy that was in the making. And, of course, the Arabs fell for it again. Now they're doing the same thing. The Iranian president said he was going to wipe out Israel off the face of the map. Number one, that comment was grossly misunderstood and mistranslated. Number two, in my opinion, there is nothing wrong with wiping out someone off of the face of the map. We did that to the Soviet Union, and the Russian people are in a much better shape than what they are now. We did that in Czechoslovakia, and the people of the Czech Republic and the people in the Slovak Republic are much, much better, in a much better shape. We have Yugoslavia. It's not on the map anymore. So there's really nothing wrong with replacing a political entity instead of another one if it's going to be the best for everybody. But even with that, no one is saying, hey, take Israel off the map. No. Israel can have Israel, just get out of the Palestinian territories and let these Palestinians live in peace after you have been killing them and destroying their homes for the last 60 years. It is time that you move on and let these people live. Have your own state. No one is disputing the fact that Israel exists. The Arabs have said and they have acknowledged that Israel exists. The Palestinians have acknowledged the same thing. But now, because we want Israel to have the upper hand in that area, we want other Arabs to basically seek the protection of Israel against the Iranians. That's the scenario that these people are working on, and they have the power. They have the media that they can, the media to go along with their plans. They have the bankers to go along with their plans. They have the politicians that they have installed in all these countries to go along with their plans. So these people have, they put pressure on a lot of people out there that you have to go along with them. So their plans have to go on. They have to succeed. They have been succeeding in their plans for a long time. Why now? They're not, it's going to be in a different way. So what they have now is basically get the Arabs to seek the protection of Israel against the Iranians myth. And that's what it is.
Iran in Canada.
Okay, well, let me shut up now and let me go to some of the callers who have been patiently waiting. Let's go to Canada with Byron. Go ahead, Byron.
Yes. Hi, how are you? How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Hey, you know, this is a little bit off the subject, but do you know, I was listening to a show earlier, that Russia, I think under Stalin, actually gave a country to the Jewish people, and I can't pronounce the name of it, but do you know what I'm talking about?
And no, I sure don't, but I know for a fact that at the time, back in 1915, that the British had offered Uganda to the Jews, and they rejected it.
Well, this here is it wasn't Uganda. This is a different country, and it's like Rubison or something like that, the way it's pronounced. But I was just wondering if you could find out.
I'm not familiar with that. No,
it was back in the 30s, I believe it was, and I just wondered if maybe for the next show, that if you could do some research on that, because it is true, and I've heard it before, and it was brought up today, I believe, on another talk show, or last night, I can't remember for sure. But I just wondered if you could do some research on that and maybe talk about it.
Okay.
All right.
Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'm not familiar with that, where the Russians offered a country to the Jews. I'm not really, you know, which brings us to, offer a country to the Jews. Why would the Jews feel like they have to have a country? Maybe, you know, someone can answer that, because you're really, you know, when you say Jews, it's just like you're saying Christians. You know, it's a religion. But unfortunately, what the Zionist movement was able to do is to create this Jewishness, which will never go away, even after people convert to Christianity, and even after people who claim to be Jews, they're not Jewish anymore. They don't adhere to the to the Jewish religion. Now, of course, you know, you can think of, you know, what is a Jew. I'm not really going to go in details. I think we've talked about that before. But, you know, what were the Jews before Second World War and Hitler? You know, what were the Jews before? You know, they were practically people living in different countries, and they understood that as Jews, if you are a religious Jew, because you have different ethnic groups. You have people who are Jewish from Africa, from Ethiopia. You have people from different parts of the world. You have white Europeans that are, they call themselves Jews. You have people in the Arab world. They're Arabs, but they're Jews because they were Jews when the Jewish religion was in existence. I mean, the Jewish religion, it started in the Middle East. It started there. Abraham started there. And people who adhered to the religion, it's just like saying Christianity is only for the Romans. So let's get all the Catholics in the world, and we want our own country. And somebody might say, well, you know, you have Rome. Well, yeah, Rome is a city, but, you know, that's not enough for all the Catholics out there. So let's take Italy, you know, because let's just leave the United States since, you know, the I don't want to be funny here because I'm sure a lot of people will not find me funny to say let's leave the United States to the Jews, even though they are practically controlling and influencing. I think we went through this. This is not something that we are being it's not a derogatory comment when we say there's Jewish influence on the on our politicians. It's well known fact. But now you see me now trying to kind of walk on eggshells around that subject, because it is a subject that we need to understand it, and we need to understand that being a Jew does not mean that you are to go to Israel. That does not mean that you have to have a country of your own. Being a Jew is just that's if you are taking it as a religion, which is being Jewish. It has to be only as a religion. If you're not adhering to the religion of a Jew, the Jewish religion, then you're not a Jew. As you could not be called a Christian if you're not a Christian. You could not be a Muslim if you're not a Muslim. Now, once you stop being a Muslim and you convert, you become a Christian, then you are a Christian. But, you know, with this Jewish thing, it's like, are they people of the same kind? No, because they will tell you we are not. They are different. Probably in every country, you will find people who are Jews and people who converted later on to the Jewish religion, and they became Jews. But I don't know how we got on talking about Jews. That's probably one subject that I like to stay away from unless I'm talking about specific things so people will not misunderstand what I'm saying. And what we're talking about is the Bilderberg meetings, where in a lot of these meetings, that's where people basically get told what to go and do and what to say. And if you go on the internet and look up these people. The reason I'm talking about this because in Istanbul, Turkey, in May, at the end of May, and actually I think like it will go from like May 28th or 29th until June 1st or 2nd, that's when these people will meet to decide what's next in the world. And whatever you see, whatever they decide, it will come about. So if they decide that we are going to have a Palestinian state, believe me, there will be a Palestinian state. But unfortunately, that's not where these groups' influence is in. The group's influence is in what Israel wants and what Israel wants to have. That's basically what Israel will have. That's basically it on the on this particular group. And again, we do welcome your phone calls. We still have about 15 minutes left. 800-313-9443 if you would like to weigh in on this subject or any of the subjects that we talked about tonight. And, you know, I'm being sent information from you, the listeners, on the internet that supporting the fact that there was a Mossad decision to get rid of Iraq. And it was talked about. It was talked about in these particular meetings. And so George Bush would not even, he did not have much to do about it. But they had to get something done for the United States people, because if the people in the United States understood the facts before 9/11 and before we went to a war against Iraq, they would not have supported this war. And if we do not support this war, believe me, I don't care about Bilderberg. Of course, you know, they're influential, but you are stronger than their money. You are stronger than them if you do something about it. But if you just, you know, I was reading an article talking about Amira Hess. She is an Israeli writer. And I'll talk about Amira's because it's very important that we relate to what goes on or what went on during World War II to what is happening now in the United States. We'll be back in a couple of seconds.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. We was saying something about Amira Hess. It's the John Pilger. He's a Australian journalist. In his latest article, he's mentioning what Amira Hess once one time wrote about her mother while she was. Now, of course, no one denies the fact that Jews and other people during World War II were taken out of their homes and sent to concentration camps. That is, no one denies that fact. And she's describing, her mother is describing how when they were led out of these trains, going into the concentration camps, of how there were German women standing on the sidelines, basically looking at them. And she was wondering what went through those German women's heads while they were seeing this in front of them. And I'm reminded that we probably, if you're not doing anything about what's going on in our own country, we probably basically we're acting just like the German women that on the sidelines just looking. And, of course, you know, we don't know if they really could have done anything back then, but does that mean that we can't do anything right now as people? Does that mean that they will do whatever they want to do in our country and we can't stand up and say anything, even though we are the ones who are supposedly electing these people? So that was an analogy that really struck a chord with me, that we are basically standing on the sideline. Tell you what, I'm going to go to Gary in Tennessee. We only have like 5 minutes left or 4 minutes. Go ahead, Gary. Gary, you're up?
Yeah, I'd be up, all right. Your program name sounds Arabic, but your American name sounds American.
You have cool. A question? Be quick, because we only have a couple of minutes left.
Okay. What I'm trying to say is, I don't care what country you come from. I don't care what religion you worship.
Okay.
This is America. All you have to do is be an American. What really ticks me off is these neocon Zionists with dual citizenships. CFR Trilateral Commission, that by virtue of word and deed.
Gary, go ahead and hurry up, because we're coming to the end of the program. So go ahead and make your point quick.
Okay, I'm finishing up. Are traitors to the country, and one of the worst off is Chertoff. Why does he need dual citizenship with Israel? Is that where he's going to run when the ropes and the guns come out? That's the end of my story.
Very good. Thank you, Gary. I'll tell you what, Gary Mix, I wish we had more time to explore what Gary's saying, because there are a lot of people in our government who have dual citizenship. One of them is Douglas Feith, who was in charge of the Office of Special Plans, that basically was the reason and concocted all these reasons about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm completely out of time. We will see you next week. I will be here, so you be there. I think. Good night.